this is Jim Rockford. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
You are full of bullshit, my friend. I will sue you for everything you have. I will sue your ass.
All right, time with Tuesdays with Tom. Tom Sestel, the World Herald, as we welcome into the show. First and foremost, how are you feeling?
Well, that's a loaded question. I'm better, and I've had it. It's just been a hell of a week. One of the worst. That might be the worst thing I've ever been through, ever. And I guess I feel fortunate, Gary, I'm Exhibit A that as we go back to our games and our concerts and open things up again this summer, there's a lot of danger out there still. And just because you had two COVID shots, doesn't mean you can't be flat on your back. So, I got this last week going down to Parents Weekend, and Columbia was packed with people from, they had their 2020 graduation ceremony, and every restaurant and bar had a line out the door. It was a place, the people were everywhere, and I wore a mask, but I had my shots, and I came home, and I got pneumonia, and it just kicked my ass all over the place, so I didn't get to make it to the spring game, but I watched on TV, and Kevin Kugler and Kenny Bell were very good, and now I'm talking to you. Every day is an adventure.
Well, you didn't miss much. I mean, you know, it was was a little bit more. There was a little bit more activity than last fall in the press box. But what was some of your key takeaways? And you saw the open practice, so that wasn't the first time that you saw these guys.
Right.
Any major takeaways about what you saw or the vibe that you now have as we close the book on the spring and get ready for the fall, which is a little less than 17 weeks away?
Well, the major takeaway is from experience, and that is what I've learned over the years is whatever I see in the spring, I believe it when I see it in the fall. I don't take anything for granted that it's going to be there, or it's going to look like that, or it's going to happen that way. And so anything that happened last year, it's going to happen again. So I think there's still a lot of questions, but I feel better about the running back situation. I feel like they did last year I was like, where are they? Why can't they get a running back on the field? What is going on here? And I mean, this is a major college football program. I mean, come on. I think they have some guys. I don't think they have the guy, but that's okay. You don't necessarily need to have a great running back to have a good effective running game that's going to help you. And they really need to have that if they're going to have any success next year. So I think they can have a good running game. Offensive line is a big part of that. And I think they have that. But I saw several good backs. I think it'll be by committee. And I think unless somebody over the August, you know, steps forward, but it's always hard to do that in practice. If you don't get a lot of the reps, it's not. I think that'll happen over time if somebody steps forward. But I think they have a few good role players. Maybe, you know, a guy who could maybe catch the ball if you need to. I think this Yant guy character is a really interesting a newcomer, you know, in terms of a short yardage. They didn't have a guy inside the red zone or a goal line. Haven't had that. You know, they got Mills healthy, but he wasn't hardly ever there. It all fits together, but I think they have the kind of running game where if they needed to run the ball down Minnesota's throat, which they should have, that they could do that this time. So now whether they would or not, we'll have to figure that out. But I think that piece of the puzzle is there. And I think it is a really big piece of the puzzle. Now, the receivers, we'll see. They look really good. Manny, you wish you could have caught the ball on that one route, but he got open. Right? That was at the battle. I mean, they haven't had receivers that you felt like could go make plays, could go get open. And guys were frustrated by that. So a lot of these pieces are coming together. It looks like a football team. So now let's go see if these coaches can coach and get them to go make plays and execute the way they're going to win games.
So that's all of this stuff. You know, they've recruited themselves into some I think some good depth at certain position groups where it's been a focus for a couple of years. So we all look at this team, and nothing this spring changed my opinion. They got some work to do. They got to have a good summer, and they got to get off to a good start. They cannot get off to, you can't be 0-1. You've got to find momentum, and they've set themselves up now to find some momentum before Oklahoma. So with all that said, because we're gonna talk ourselves up and down the whole schedule and the whole season until we get to the end of August. When you keep coming back to everything you just said, and I agree with the majority of what you said, there's that but. What's the biggest but when you describe what you like, but you're not, if you're a 6-6, you're not willing to jump to a 8-win team or even a 7-win team?
I've never seen them play good football. I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for the talent is a big part of the equation. You've got to go act and play like a good, well-coached team. I haven't seen that. Even in their biggest win, which is the last game against Rutgers, they were sloppy, and they earned it, but boy, a good thing Noah Fant was out. I mean, they ride the edge every game, and a lot of times they fall off the edge because their biggest thing is confidence. And I know that sounds silly, but and confidence, is, you can't coach it or teach it. You have to go earn it. And I think the it was a good move to put a game up early. We said it yesterday. They need to get some momentum. They need to learn how to win. But, yeah, that first one is important. If they lose that Illinois game, you don't run out the season. I think this is a team that's going to get better as the season goes on. But confidence helps you get better. I think it's a team that could be good the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season and getting better as long as they stay healthy. But, yeah, this is a program that needs to learn how to win. So, I just need to see them give themselves a break by playing good football, executing urgency, focus, show up. The last Illinois game, they didn't show up, right? They were flat. We have to be beyond this stuff. This isn't high school anymore. This isn't, we're not trying to, learn how to play football. They should know. And that part of being a Nebraska Husker is you show up all the time. This is year four. That should be ingrained in them since the day they got there. So I just want to, the other shoe that drops, here we go again. Well, I like to see them come out of the first game and just look really, really prepared and focused and, a lot of energy and go make plays. And the key to that is Martinez not having to be Superman, just letting the game come to him and having now more weapons around him, more help, and then letting the help him. So I think, they could beat Ole Miss. Should have, would have, they didn't. Mm-hmm. But there's games that they can win. And that schedule was tough because Nebraska's not ready. Nebraska's playing good football. That schedule doesn't look nearly as tough to me. I mean, I don't think Wisconsin's a world beater, do you? Or Iowa? I think Iowa's probably going to be ranked pretty high, but you know, the Nebraska-Iowa games are always close every year. So, I mean, I just see some of these games, like, okay, yeah, they, how do you beat them and this and that? Because they don't play well. But if they start playing well, that will change the tenor of everything.
Yeah. I think that just – let's just focus on pre-Oklahoma first. I do think Wisconsin, I think Wisconsin and Iowa will be ranked. So, you know, all the attention's on the head coach. A lot of attention is on the quarterback. Is this also the year of a make or break for Martinez's position coach?
Well, I guess. I mean,
because he's not only working with the current guy that can affect your 21 season, but the future was on display on Saturday, and I don't think anybody walked away going, hey, here we go, here we go.
You know, if he wasn't such a good interview, if he didn't have the hair and the cigars, would anybody care? I mean, I love the guy. He's fun. He's a good guy, but if quarterbacks do well, the head coach will get the credit. It won't be Mario. He's going to be in the background no matter what, I think, in this deal. So, I mean, I just think he's sort of there to help Frost, but Frost can't always be there. Whenever we ask Mario about quarterbacks, well, you know, it's always about Frosty, whatever Frosty says, whatever he wants, you know. He's almost like the go-between, you know. So I think he's a real smart character, and he understands quarterback play, but I think sometimes you can also overthink it. Position sometimes can be really overanalyzed, and that, you know, that can kind of get in the way sometimes too. So, yeah, I don't know who's in, you know, who's on the hot seat. I think they're all on the hot seat if this doesn't go well. But now that said, I don't think the head coach is going anywhere anytime soon. But I think this is a big year for the coaching staff. Is this the right staff? You know. Can they get this team to execute and play good football? And, you know, the special team, just the little things, getting the right players in position on the field, and game plans, the play calling, the special teams, the attention to detail, all that stuff is so big this year. It's all under the spotlight.
The defensive coaches feel really good. They're in a better spot than the offensive guys. I think all you have to do is look to the defensive coordinator. Eric Chenander has spent the spring, you know, well, actually since the calendar flip, he's almost like he knows a little secret whenever you talk to him. I think he is extremely confident in the group that he has assembled and that they will make the next jump because he knows they're not a finished product, that he's confident enough that if it comes down to them, they're going to be able to hold up their end of the bargain. And what he knows is they're going to be asked to help this team out of the gate. I think the defense is in a really good spot in terms of the guys on that side of the ball and also kind of the sense of urgency amongst coaches and players sharing that same thing on defense.
Well, they did it last year. They were good enough last year with the game. That defense, you know, in terms of winning in the Big Ten, was it good enough to win in the Big Ten? Obviously, not good enough because they didn't win. But they should have more help in the offense this year, and they need to get help. But can they do what they did and then some? Yes. Are there great offenses on this schedule? Maybe not great ones. I think always there's only going to be teams that are going to be up to some things, but. In any case, yes, I think it could be a good to very good defense, but I wouldn't want to ride them every game. Like, you know, don't sit on that branch too hard because it might break eventually. So, you know, the offense has got to help this year.
Final one. I know as you recover, you will finally make your way out to Warner Park. What does it mean for this community? I know you talked to Marty. What does it mean for this community to have the Storm Chasers back after a year of not having them at Warner Park?
Well, our AAA franchise has been with us since 1969, and not many things in Omaha have been around that long now. It's part of our community, a very important part. It's got a niche. It's not the World Series. It doesn't mean that much, but it means something. And to people, I mean, who were part of the front office, who lost their jobs, I mean, there are people in Omaha who put a lot of love and passion into that franchise. And it's like a lot of Omaha businesses, it suffered through, and a lot of good people suffered, and but they held it together, and not only with the pandemic, but with all the shenanigans of Major League Baseball and all their changes.
Yep.
I think some of their changes, I think that some teachers actually made up pretty good. They got to keep the Royals affiliation. They got to keep AAA, which isn't even, I guess arbitrary now, but whatever Manfred and the boys say you are is what you are, I guess. So I don't know how that works anymore. But so they got to keep those things, and I think they're going to get, the owner, Gary Green, the big Mets fan in Omaha, is got to be thrilled because they've got a whole new batch of teams that are going to be coming in the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, it'll be fun. With the Twins affiliate, Trevor Larnach, one of their top prospects, he was the guy that after Arkansas had the mess up on the pop-up in foul territory in Game 2 of the College World Series, he was at Oregon State and he hit the home run. He's back tonight playing for St. Paul. Hey, get you out of here on this. I'm asking for a friend. You were watching the broadcast from home while you recoup from some pneumonia. Again, asking for a friend. What did you think of the sideline guy on Big Ten Network on Saturday?
What was his name again? Oh, I'm just kidding. I thought Damon did a good job. I think he's good at being the booth. I never understand why. I mean, I think he could be in the Big Ten Network studio as well. I don't know if that's his choice or theirs, but I'll just say he's underutilized.
There you go. He did a better job than Clayton Kershaw is doing right now, who's given up 4 runs to the Cubs in the bottom of the first.
Stop it. Stop it.
Tom, get well. Anything we need, anything you need, we're here for you. I appreciate your time.
All right. I'll talk to you next week.
That's Tom Chattel. 4-0 Cubs. Bottom of the first against Clayton Kershaw. Whoa! Whoa! What's going on here? It's 2016 all over again. Also, Teddy Allen has found a home. His 4th Division I program. He is headed to New Mexico State to play with Chris Jans.
Wow.
Teddy is going to get to experience all of Las Cruces. So he has played for, get this, take out Hoiberg. He has played for Bob Huggins. He spent time around Greg Marshall. And now he's going to play for Chris Jans, who used to be an assistant at Wichita State a long time ago. That's quite the collection of interesting coaches in their personality. All right, so Teddy is headed to New Mexico State. We're headed to a break. It's the Gary Sharp Show with Jordan, 1620 The Zone. Woodhouse Place Nissan. Now, just like the Cubs are doing today against the Dodgers, you can score as well. Hey, it's the small victories. We're having a bad year compared to the Dodgers. You can score on deals at Woodhouse Place Nissan, 144th and Giles, or online at woodhouseplacenissan.com. You're looking for that newer pre-owned vehicle of the Nissan family, Sentra, Ultima, Rogue, Armada, Titan, whatever you can imagine. And Nissan's, they have it for you in person, 144th and Giles, or online at woodhouseplacenissan.com.